Realtor.com is making a stand for buyer representation, and you can too. Join Realtor.com in sharing the list of 111 things buyer's agents do. Visit Realtor.com/buyer agent toolkit to help spread the word. Buyer agents are essential.
Okay, if this was to happen, how am I going to keep some revenues on from buy-side representation and service? And how am I going to keep the market as fluid as we can? And so I could see the evolution, for instance, of something that looks like a transaction management service for buyers to handle all the details that a buyer's agent normally does or has done, and maybe offers it at some flat fee. I mean, first of all, the title companies, you know, they certainly have the infrastructure to do it. But will they want to step on their real estate clients? So there's a lot of these channel conflicts that likely prevent incumbents of all kinds from acting quickly.
Today, NAR, the National Association of Realtors, entered into a settlement agreement to resolve the home seller class action lawsuits. As part of this, they have agreed to pay out $418 million. The agreement would release NAR and over 1 million NAR members, state and territorial and local realtor associations, and all association-owned MLSs and brokerages with an NAR member as a principal that had a residential transaction volume in 2022 of $2 billion or below from liability of these claims. Now, I asked Steve Murray. He is a partner with RTC Consulting and the founder of Real Trends. He has also been an expert witness in several different antitrust lawsuits in the industry. And I asked him to come on the podcast today to give us a little bit of an idea of how this settlement could impact the industry and what real estate brokers specifically should be thinking about right now. And Steve had some really interesting things to say, and there were some other items in the settlement agreement that we thought were interesting, including that an offer of compensation could be made with off-market MLS listings. So there's a lot to hash out. We're not attorneys, and we would definitely say work with your attorney on figuring out some of the settlement agreement rules before making any type of changes. But I want to welcome Steve to the podcast and hear his insight. We had some breaking news today from NAR that they have settled in the Sitzer-Burnett case. And I have Steve Murray on with me to talk about some of the ramifications of the settlement and some of the actual settlement terms and how they may impact real estate, the real estate industry in general, and real estate brokers as well. So welcome, Steve.
Hey, Tracy. Good to be with you.
Yeah. So let's just get right into it. So basically, NAR has settled, and it is not final. It has to be approved by the courts. So this is a proposed settlement. And they've done a number of things. Why don't we talk about them? Let's talk about the compensation offers being moved off the MLS.
That is one of the major requirements, that you can no longer have a field on an MLS that offers compensation. You cannot offer a blanket offer of compensation through the MLS. So those things are barred by the settlement.
And so, in your opinion, what does that mean? To me, commissions are generally negotiated, individually with the listing agent. They're now a part of this agreement is that they are requiring buyer representation agreements for all members of NAR.
Right.
How do you think that will impact the industry moving forward as far as, we've already had commission compression. Do you think it will get worse? Or, tell me what you think the impacts of this will be.
Well, first, it's going to take some time to sort this out and see what actually happens. They've indicated they want these new policies in place by July 1. But it's interesting. I've read the settlement agreement, just finished reading it a short time ago, and obviously not with a lawyer's eye, but a layman's eyes. It's a kind of interest to me. They say it'll all go into effect July 1, but they're not sure they'll have final court approval by that time. But it doesn't really matter, right? At some point, either final approval and or July 1, probably whichever is sooner, MLSs will no longer have those fields. Okay, that's clear. What's going to be the impact? I don't know precisely, but I suspect that when word of this gets out, you're going to have some listing agents telling their sellers that we can no longer offer through the MLS compensation to a buyer's agent. Now, they leave open that, of course, a buyer agent can request to be compensated. They can request to have funds set aside, as they always have, for closing costs or repairs. That's all fine, as long as it's all published ahead of time and transparent. But they also make an exclusion that it's an off-market listing, that an off-market listing, you can still offer buyer agent compensation. I do believe you'll have listing agents and sellers who, if they don't have to pay it and they can't offer it, that there'll be some commission compression, because their sellers may take the position that, well, if you don't have to pay the other side, then I'm not going to pay you X. I'll pay you less than X, because we don't have to pay the other side. If we end up having to pay the other side, we'll worry about it then. So I do think there'll be some commission compression.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the assumption is that there's listing agents out there who only list and buyer's agent out there who only work with buyers, when in fact, most agents work with both buyers and sellers. And I think there is some confusion with that. What does that mean to a consumer? Does it mean anything to a consumer?
You know, here's what I think. I mean, congratulations to plaintiffs' counsel and the U.S. Department of Justice. You got what you want. Plaintiffs' counsel, you're going to get a huge payday. The harmed consumers, supposedly harmed consumers from the past, will essentially get nothing, or tenths of pennies on the dollar. So this isn't about compensating harmed sellers from the past. This is about let's extract $500 million to $1 billion out of the industry and change this practice. Okay, so the plaintiff's attorneys win. I think the sellers win, because I think there will be lower commission costs resulting from this for sellers. And the buyers are now going to be massively confused about what they're supposed to do when now they're requiring buyer agency agreements. Now the buyers are actually going to have to read and understand those agreements. And in some cases, I suppose they may or may not understand that they're promising compensation to a buyer agent of an amount which maybe they understand and maybe they don't. I mean, the buyers have not had to come out of their own sources of funds, despite what a lot of economists say, to buy a home. But now there's a chance that in many or most cases, they're going to be in the position where they're going to have to pay to have the services of a buyer agent. And if they don't, then they're going to go direct to the listing agent. And in some cases, if not most cases, they will have little legal representation in the purchase of a home. Now, so, you know, sellers win, plaintiff's counsel wins, DOJ wins, and the buyers lose. Agents, we don't know yet, but likely commission revenues will decline. So I guess we could say another loser are brokerage firms and agents.
"2024 is the year to act, to make bold moves, tell better stories, and build brands that endure. At the 1000 Watt Brand and Marketing Summit, we're putting real estate experts like you in a room with some of the greatest marketing minds around so you can turn your big ideas into action. Join us in Dallas, June 25th through the 27th for a real estate event designed for doers. Get your tickets at 1000watt.net/summit. That's 1-000-WATT.net/summit. Well, there's also stock for Zillow and homes.com increased today based on this announcement. However,
actually, Tracy, Zillow took a huge hit today.
Did they? Okay. They were up
Zillow
for a little
took
bit.
A huge hit.
Okay.
And CoStar took a big gain.
Okay. Okay.
Which, by the way, reflects some people that know what they're thinking about, because, of course, CoStar's model is revenue from the listing agents. And
right.
Zillow's revenue model primarily has been for buyers and buyer leads.
Do you think there's a misconception, though? I think that there's this idea that Homes.com or Zillow or Realtor.com can take over as the national MLS, which, of course, first of all, the MLSs are feeding them the data that they are getting. So talk a little bit about that misconception and why Homes.com, other than the fact that they really focus on listing leads, why they would be
listing advertising revenue.
Right. Why else would they be a big winner in this?
That would be the sole reason I can think of. I don't know. And anybody who says they do, I think they're speculating. We don't know exactly what the impact on MLSs is going to be. I mean, the settlement says, and I read it five times to make sure that I think I understood it, that off MLS listings can still offer buyer agent commission. Period. There's also some language, and I'm not sure I understand it completely, that seems to imply that a brokerage firm with its own listings can do so. Its own listings, its own marketing system can do that. That's what it seems to say. I could be wrong, but it seems to imply it. Well, so I'm a seller and I want exposure to the market. There's other ways than the MLS to get information about my property out. By the way, including featuring it on CoStar or Zillow or Realtor.com, because they're not MLSs, so they're not enjoined from publishing this, although there is language about data and listing aggregators and some prohibitions of what they can do. We have to wait to see how that settles out. But, you know, the truth is, my own experience is the Department of Justice would, in its own mind, love to see the realtor MLSs go away. So, I mean, this exclusion for off-market listings being able to continue to offer cooperative compensation, we'll have to wait and see just how many people go down that path. I think we're going to have all kinds of new structures evolve from this in terms of brokerage marketing systems, their own listing marketing systems. I can see all potentially new companies arising to offer limited service buyer services. I mean, we just don't know how much and how widespread that will be, but it will be far less homogeneous a marketplace than it has been. And it's going to put a lot of pressure on the incumbents as to how, A, they're going to adapt their brokerage companies and agents adapt their practice in this new environment, and how they're going to communicate that. If it's a brokerage company, how they're going to educate their agents and staff, and for agents, how they're going to educate sellers and buyers. It's a massive undertaking that takes some time to sort out.
Well, let's go into some of these new business models. What would they look like? What do you see them looking like? And it seems to me that big brokers have a huge advantage in this, because if they want to, you know, they have obviously control over all of their listings.
Look, if I'm a, and again, I haven't spoken to any of my contacts among the large brokerage firms, but it would occur to me that some have already, I'm sure, have already started thinking about, okay, if this was to happen, how am I going to keep some revenues from buy side representation and service? And how am I going to keep the market as fluid as we can, right? And so I could see the evolution, for instance, of something that looks like a transaction management service for buyers to handle all the details that a buyer's agent normally does or has done, and maybe offers it at some flat fee. I could envision even companies like title insurance companies who do a lot of this anyway, perhaps offering those kind of services. It's unclear, you know, first of all, the title companies, you know, they certainly have the infrastructure to do it, but will they want to step on their real estate clients who are the source of a lot of their business? That's what we call channel conflict. How many brokers will move to put in a transaction type service for buyers at a fee that a buyer can afford and will think is valuable, when they got agents sitting there wanting to continue to get paid as full buyer agents? I mean, there's another channel. So there's a lot of these channel conflicts that likely prevent incumbents of all kinds from acting quickly. Anyway, there's a number of challenges to sort this all out. It's interesting to me in the settlement that this has got to be in place either upon final settlement approval or July 1. I mean, to get all this done and to sort all this out in 4 months or less than 4 months now, it'll be interesting to see how this industry can adapt in that short a period of time with this kind of a change.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, there was also an article in the New York Times that was quoted that the billions in savings that home buyers will now have, you know, will release more inventory and lower home prices. You know, tell me about how that is working and where is all that money coming from?
Do you want to quote me on this, Tracy?
Yes.
Economists and other idiots have been saying that for years, that if commissions were lower, home prices would drop. My answer to them is, what planet do you live on? And B, have you ever sold a home or bought a home? I think no. I mean, I said right at the outset, the one of the losers in this are buyers. because now they're not going to have an agent working on their behalf by settled law and regulation, an agent who represents their interests, where they have not directly had to write a check for it, didn't pay more for the house than they would have otherwise, and got that kind of service. And now they're being denied that in great part by this settlement. The buyer doesn't win in any way you look at this. The buyer doesn't win. That's my opinion.
Yeah, they also compared it to a possible new deal. This is going to be the new deal in regulation. I don't see the corollary there, but I mean it'll obviously change the way business is being done. What are your thoughts on that?
Only the New York Times would call it a new deal. I don't see any connection whatsoever there, but I guess it's their opinion. As I said earlier, sellers stand to benefit, I would think. Plaintiff's attorneys benefit. Mm-hmm. Brokerage companies and agents will suffer under this, and buyers will suffer the most. Brokers and agents will adapt. They will adapt. I'm highly confident the men and women who run national, regional, local brokers and the best agents in the industry, they will adapt. They will figure it out. It could be their incomes will on a current level of production will go down. Their answer always historically has been, I'll adapt and I'll figure out a way to keep making my business work. And I'm confident they will do so.
So let's talk about the release of liability, because they basically said that it is for a transaction volume, residential transaction volume in 2022 of $2 billion or below. That leaves out, I believe you said, about 130 some companies, although that's not completely accurate because some of them are under the umbrella of different franchises. So tell me a little bit about who isn't covered and that, as I understand it, there's a pathway for them as well.
And this wasn't clear in the settlement that I read. I tried to look for it, but I think what it means is any privately owned brokerage who is not a member of an Anywhere, Keller Williams, or RE/MAX franchise is uncovered, who did more than $2 billion in sales in 2022. It means that the plaintiff's attorneys did not want to release them under this, because there's still settlement money to be gained from them. That's how I've read it. I think that's my understanding of it. It means if I'm a privately owned brokerage, I'm not with an Anywhere, RE/MAX, or Keller Williams franchise, that I am unprotected, and here's a path for you to figure out how to get included, which means how much money, how big a check do I have to write to the plaintiff's attorneys.
Yeah, it was based on some formula, from what I understand. And so in your estimation, about how many brokerages are there that are not covered and will have to do this?
80 to 100 in that ballpark.
Okay.
Could be a few more. I mean, a few less. Could be 60. Okay. I haven't really looked at the ranking list of RealTrends to see how many there are, but 50 to 80 firms safely are probably uncovered.
What are some other interesting things that you saw with the settlement agreement that you found interesting or impactful to the industry?
And I'm not an attorney, but I did see in one of the sections that assuming this settlement agreement was approved, if in the future the U.S. Department of Justice, the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, or any state attorneys general bring action against any of these defendants that exceed this agreement, that this is clearly not does not limit future actions by any of those parties to take legal action against the industry. I found that interesting.
Final takeaways. What should brokers be doing right now based on this proposed settlement?
I have to, first of all, I'm going to have to make very, very sure that we have solid buyer agency agreements in place because that's required by part of the settlement. Second thing is, depending on the makeup of my business, I have to figure out if, in fact, sellers now say, I don't have to pay the buy side commission, and we see that commission compression. How am I going to first fix my business model and my cost based on that? Mm-hmm. And second, how am I going to serve buyers best in this environment? And third, I have to have my own counsel look at this and talk to my state regulators about this apparent allowance for off-market listings can still offer compensation to a buyer's agent. What does that mean? Does that mean that, and it seems to say that a broker can do it within their own brokerage system. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? I don't exactly know what that means. I know how it reads, but I know better to know that that completely describes it. What are the opportunities there for me as a company? What are the opportunities? If I am in cross-marketing of mortgages, title, and insurance, escrow, whatever it is, you need to take stock of the fact that a lot of that business was driven from your buyer-controlled sales. What happens to that business if the number of buyer-controlled sales that I have declines? If you're a large brokerage, those are the things you need to be thinking about right now. Because it looks like this is going to get finalized. And then lastly, if I'm one of those, 50 to 80 uncovered large brokerage companies, I mean, for me, the fact that NAR wrote this settlement and said they couldn't get the plaintiff's counsel to agree to a settlement unless they could remain targets of the plaintiff's counsel, that would give me pause as to just whether my own association really cares about me at all and bailed themselves and my smaller competitors out and left me hanging.
Interesting last thought, Steve.
I hate to say that, but I mean, if I were one of them, I haven't talked to any of them, but if I'm sure when I do, which I will.
Yeah.
They're going to question whether they should remain in the realtor organization based on that. That's just my take on it.
Thanks so much for joining the podcast today. I really appreciate you offering your insights based on your years of industry experience.
Thank you for listening to Real Trending. If you haven't already, we'd love it if you'd take a minute to rate the show or leave a comment. And we will see you next week with more news and insights.